You're listening to Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. Up next, something I'm sure you're going to see this ripped from the headlines, as they say on television, soon on CSI. It's going to be coming soon. I'm sure it's bacteria fingerprinting or bacteria signatures. You know that bacteria, you know, they live all over your body. They're on your hands. And even if you wash them regularly, you can't really get rid of them. And these bacteria can be transferred to anything you touch. Now, researchers have shown that by looking at the bacteria on an object, let's say a keyboard on your computer, they can figure out who touched that object. The bacteria on your hands are unique to you, and that bacterial signature you leave behind can be traced back to you. Joining me now to talk more about it is Rob Knight. He is early career scientist at the Howard Hughes Medical Institute and associate professor of chemistry and biochemistry and computer science at the University of Colorado in Boulder. Thanks for talking with us today, Dr. Knight.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for calling.
I guess most of us don't realize, all that bacteria that's on our skin.
Well, it's amazing. On and inside what we like to think of as our bodies, there's actually about 10 times as many bacterial cells as there are human cells. So, you know, that's about 10 trillion of our cells, and then there's about 100 trillion bacterial cells, mostly in the gut. But as we showed in this study, those bacteria on the skin are also really unique and really interesting.
So what gave you an idea to look at objects and see if we leave bacteria behind when we touch them?
Well, that's a great question. This actually started off as a biogeography project. So my colleague Noah Ferrer in Ecology and Evolutionary Biology thought that the keyboard would be a great model for looking at the kinds of patterns we see between different islands and different continents and so forth. And so if you look at the keyboard, you just start to think about things like the G key and the H key, right? They're right next to each other on the keyboard, but you touch them with opposite hands. So what's more important, the spatial location or what you touch them with? So then it went on from there to looking at the fingertips of the people who touched the keyboards as a control. And then from there, it was amazing. What we thought was going to happen was maybe there would be some association between the fingertips and the keys. But we thought that, you know, the fingertips, you've got all those crevices and things, right? So that's a really nice environment for bacteria.
Right.
Whereas the keys, they're completely smooth and almost like a desert. So what we thought is that the fingertips and the keys would be totally different, but maybe with some traces left behind. Instead, what we saw is that all the fingertips and all the keys from the same person clustered together beautifully. And that was really what led us to think that maybe, hey, we could use this for identification, and this could be potentially important for a practical application as well as for testing mm-hmm. general ecological principles.
And you were able to match the bacteria on the keyboard to a specific person?
That's exactly right. So what we saw is that bacteria from individual keys, and this is really amazing, right, that you can take a Q-tip and take the bacteria from one individual key, extract the DNA, and use that DNA to figure out what bacteria are there. It's amazing that even from a single key or from a single fingertip, you can get enough DNA to match the fingertips and the keys from the same person together. And then continuing with this kind of computer theme, we moved on to looking at computer mice, right?
Right.
So the question there was, could we match up the mouse to the hand? And for that, we used a database of undergraduate hands that we'd sampled a couple of years ago in another study. And what we found was that, yes, indeed, you could very effectively match up the mouse to the hand that touches that mouse.
Wow. Is it as good as a fingerprint, though?
Well, you know, that's a fascinating question, because when we were writing up the study, it was remarkably hard to get quantitative data about how good fingerprints actually are.
Right.
So a lot of fingerprint analysis is not automated. It's based on expert opinion. And coincidentally, there's actually a news commentary in Nature this week talking about how fingerprinting itself may be less precise than we generally think and might need to be reevaluated using modern scientific methods. So it's difficult to do that comparison, primarily because the information just isn't there for traditional fingerprints.
Right. How many touches does it take? If you touch the mouse or the key once, is that enough of a bacteria transfer to make an identification?
Again, that's a really good question. At this stage, we're in very early stages of development of this kind of procedure. So we decided to start with the objects that we thought would be easiest to identify, the ones where we know that one person touches that object every day. So we haven't yet tried it out. We haven't yet in general tried it out for cases where you just touch a keyboard once or just touch a mouse once. We did try glass beakers and say having a subject handle like a glass beaker the way you would a drinking glass one single time wasn't enough to get usable DNA from. So somewhere between touching something once and touching something every day, there's going to be that point where you can pick it up. So we need to do a lot more technology development to do that.
Let's go to the phones. Jason in Dallas. Hi, Jason.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm a homicide detective, and when I first heard about this, a question arose in my mind because I don't know if I have correct information or not, but unlike fingerprints that cannot be replicated, it's my understanding that bacteria can be replicated. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, in the sense that you can start off with a very small amount of DNA and then amplify that DNA and get a lot more of it. One of the other things that's interesting is that the bacteria on the same person seem to be relatively stable over time. And also when you look at identical twins, even though they're the same in their human genome, at least in their gut communities can be as much as 70% different. So in that way, your microbial communities and your microbial DNA are even more identifying than your human DNA.
Can I transfer it and make a phony bacteria print to something else?
Well, that's a good question. We actually looked at that in our science paper last year, trying to transfer bacteria from one person to another. And what we found is that when you transfer mouth bacteria to the forehead, the forehead bacteria outgrow those mouth bacteria in about 2 hours, whereas they stay on your forearm for about 8 hours. We weren't able to effectively transplant the whole bacterial community from one person to another in that study. So, in other words, if you transfer from someone else's forearm to your forearm, what happens is that might actually help your own forearm bacteria grow back faster. So we couldn't find any evidence that you could fake a bacterial fingerprint in that sense by shaking someone's hand really vigorously and then committing a crime. Mm. However, the technology to do any of this has only existed so recently. Most of this relies on techniques that we and other people developed over the last couple of years. So just about anything you could imagine would be a really great experiment that hasn't been done yet and would be really exciting.
Jason, you homicide detectives have some more homework to do, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to keep us busy. You know, one of the other things that was the question of if the bacteria lands on like a keyboard that is already contaminated with some other kind of biological material, does the bacteria mutate or change?
Well, bacteria are mutating and changing all the time. I think, again, we were really surprised to see that the keyboard bacteria matched the fingertip bacteria so well, because we had expected that only a very small number of bacteria would be able to survive on the keyboard long term. So although that's a very reasonable idea, it's not actually what we saw evidence for in our study. And finding out in general how persistent the traces are is going to be really important. So, for example, we showed that skin samples that were just sitting around in the lab for 2 weeks, and also that fecal samples that had been sitting around in the lab for 2 weeks, we could still tell which particular person they had come from, even 2 weeks later without any refrigeration or anything. Mm. So, if you've been finding that kind of material on your desk, even if it's a couple of weeks later, we can probably tell who the material came from.
Hmm. What about people who cohabitate, live together a lot? Do they start growing the same bacteria on their skins?
Well, that's a good question. Again, that hasn't been looked at with modern high-resolution molecular methods, to my knowledge. It's very plausible that you would converge on the same community, but the preliminary data that we have doesn't really support that idea. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of this actually of that kind of thing with the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, who have been amazingly generous in supporting time series studies where for diseases like UC and for Crohn's disease, the dynamics of the communities in the mm-hmm. gut are likely to be really important. And so trying to figure out those kinds of things, like can you get recolonized by other people who you live with,
right,
and can you predict what's going to happen from a sample that you take at one particular time? Can you predict the future from that sample? That's something that we're extremely interested in following up.
It looks like you've opened up a whole new area of untouched research potential.
That's what's so exciting about it, especially so I'm part of the Colorado Initiative for Molecular Biotechnology, and what we're really trying to do is encourage students to take really interdisciplinary approaches. And what's so nice about this kind of research is it really combines microbiology, ecology, computer science, all these different fields that they can pick up techniques from and apply them to all these great questions that that anyone can come up with. But that in general, we don't know the answers to yet.
Yeah, but based on your preliminary research, it's not ready for primetime juries yet. It's not ready for courtroom presentation.
Absolutely. I don't think we could convince a jury of it today, but, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years down the track, especially considering how much cheaper DNA sequencing is getting, I think we'd be able to get the sample sizes to where we could really move it up to a large scale.
Could you get bacteria off of other things on our body and use it in just not just your fingerprints?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So one thing that's fascinating that we found in that paper last year was that the bacteria on different parts of your body are much, much more different than we expected. So your forehead has a totally different community, again, from what's on your what's on the palm of your hand or your fingertips. And then what's in your mouth or what's in your gut are totally different again. So so one thing that Kathy Lozapone, who's a really talented postdoc in my lab, who completed her PhD thesis on this a couple of years ago, found out is just how different those different types of bacteria are compared to what's out there in the environment. So we literally carry all these totally different habitats
wow.
within us. The difference between what's on your hand, what's in your mouth, is like the difference between, say, what's on a polar ice cap versus what lives in a hot spring in Yellowstone. Totally different communities.
Fascinating. Good luck to you. Thank you for coming on and talking with us.
Great. Thanks so much for your interest, Ira.
Rob Knight is an early career scientist at the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. He's also an associate professor of chemistry and biochemistry and computer science at the University of Colorado at Boulder. And he was talking to us about the new fingerprint technology using, shouldn't be using fingerprints, it's bacteria. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR.